Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to podcast number 7. My name's Christian Corley. With me is Brian Terranova.
Hello.
And we're going to chat through a good 15 to 20 minutes of your time with a bit of Doctor Who-related nonsense. We're halfway through Series 4, can you believe it? Series 4. In fact, we'll start calling it Season 30, I think, Brian. What do you think?
I like that. I prefer that.
Yeah. Well, given that I thought of it several months ago, and then Doctor Who Magazine decided to start doing it, I thought, why not? Anyway, we're going to have a look at the most recent episodes of Doctor Who from a particular angle. We're also going to have a look at exactly where Doctor Who is going at the moment. And I think we'll finish off with a bit of a musing over what's going to happen once Russell T. Davies, God bless him, moves on. So, Brian, what did you think of The Unicorn and the Wasp?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a really good one, and I have to say, you had that hint in the beginning of, oh, well, maybe it's the Vicar.
Yeah.
But then after that, I was like completely lost for a while, going, wow, wait a minute, maybe it's not. Like, I'm surprised. A murder mystery where I'm actually sitting here still trying to figure out who did it? I was pretty impressed by that.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. It didn't add anything considerably to the series so far, but we'll come to that a bit later on. I must admit, I thought it was Felicity Kendall right the way through until we found out it was the Vicar.
Well, I thought the woman, and obviously I don't, unfortunately rather, I don't remember her her real name, but I thought the woman that was found to be the unicorn, I had originally said, oh, well, it's her because she had the gun in the bathroom. And then I went, well, that's a little too obvious. She's playing with a gun in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
So I, like, again, I think they really had some good tricks in there to fool you and make you look the opposite way.
I think it was a good subject as well. I didn't know that Agatha Christie had disappeared.
No, neither did I. As a matter of fact, just Friday, I researched that on the internet when I found out. And you know what? They got a lot of the facts pretty darn right from what I had read about.
How long did it take you to research that?
Well, I did a little bit of Agatha Christie in the old Google. She popped right up. Mm-hmm. I did disappearance. And actually, there were two sites. There was one that was a Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And another one... I don't recall the name, but it was a letter. Someone wrote in asking about her disappearance, all these specific questions, and it was kind of like a Dear Abby type situation, if you want. And they answered the whole thing, and all the information was there, was exactly on the Wikipedia. The only difference that I saw was the name that she had checked herself in to the hotel.
See, I've been researching a particularly contentious and slightly bonkers issue recently on the internet, and basically it's taken over my entire life, which is... I probably shouldn't say, but I will. It's the subject of whether or not Paul McCartney's dead or not.
That debate is still going on? The old one from the 70s, or is this a new one?
Yeah, no, well, no, it's from the 1969 it started.
60s, you're right, excuse me.
Yeah, and it's quite compelling evidence, actually, in favour of something seriously strange happening to Paul McCartney in 1966. However, the whole sort of community around this is basically a collection of normal people like myself, well, relatively normal, you know, and a collection of people who would probably be best off receiving specialist treatment. So it does make things a little bit cloudy and difficult. So I'm kind of sort of withdrawing from it at the moment. I haven't contributed anything, you know.
But you know what? I think you have just hit on who the celebrity or the famous guest should be in Series 5. Well, maybe not guest, but the famous personality. You know, we had Dickens, we had the Queen, we had Shakespeare, we had Agatha Christie.
Paul McCartney.
Well, Paul McCartney's got that mystery.
Explain why he grew and his face changed shape. Brilliant. That would be very, very cool indeed.
And it would be a great change of pace.
It would be a great change of pace. And, you know, I think that's pretty much what the series needs at the moment.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about it the other day, and I realized... I forgot about the Queen at first, but all of the historical guests have been authors. Now, I guess the Beatles still would be the same in some way because, you know, they write their music, and it's still, in a literary sense, quite stunning and still as powerful as any of those other writers that they have amongst all the fans in the community out here. Everybody still remembers and recalls them and listens to their music.
Oh, so, sure, yeah.
It would still be along the same lines, but rather than talking about somebody's, you know, books, you would be talking about their effect that their music still had. And you
That's right.
You know, I can see the scene vividly with a young Paul McCartney or even all the Beatles talking to the doctor and you know, will our music still be here? Is it still loved? You know, is it just for now? And, you know, the doctor telling them it'll be around forever. You know, I mean, that's what he does. It's inevitable. It's always going to happen. But it would be brilliant. It would be a nice thing to see.
Well, that would be very good. That'd be interesting, that. They would really, really be good. What do you think of Series 4 so far, then, Brian?
Honestly, I'm one of the ones out there that is enjoying it. I think it's pretty good. I'm enjoying Donna's performance rather than the love story that we had been getting for the past few years. It seems like we're getting a good old proper companion back, but with a much modern update. But I will admit, it's definitely it's toned down. It's more Sarah Jane, unfortunately. While I'm enjoying it, I think it's really more kids show this time round in its lighting and sometimes its feel. But the way it's shot, it's nowhere near as dark or as impressive as other TV shows. It's very colorful.
Yeah, I can't argue with any of that, really. To be honest with you, I think the better episodes this year have been probably the most recent two and the Planet of the Ood. But if we'd seen them last year, they probably wouldn't have come in the top half. They would have been fine replacements for Evolution of the Daleks, for instance, Daleks Take Manhattan or whatever it was called. I think tonally, everything just seems a little brighter and more whimsical and a little bit humorous, and there isn't that much of a terrible threat or anything overhanging, or whatever is overhanging isn't impeding too much onto the actual individual stories. And I think tonally, although this is what Davies had previously said would happen, it wouldn't be as dark this year, for me, the series is suffering for it.
You know, I don't want to say that it's suffering for it. I look at it more of looking at the classic series, as it has become known. It was always like this. You had episodes that would go up and down, light or dark, you know, and fun or entertaining without going too far as to be like the Happiness Patrol, you know, with Sylvester McCoy, you know, with Candyman and so on. Like, they're not crossing that line so far. Like I said, they've got the lighting issue, which I just think they're I don't know what they did, but so far it's going completely wrong for me in a few episodes, specifically the Santarin episode with all the purple. Story-wise, I can't say it's as bad as you think it is. I think maybe the darkness is yet to come, and maybe that's the way that it should sort of be. You know, Stephen Moffat's episode is coming up soon, and obviously, I mean, that I can't picture that one being as light as the rest.
No, well, certainly from the trailer at the end of the most recent episode, it certainly looks like there's lots of darkness in it. Will that darkness translate from screen to the actual matter of the story, of course? That's the question.
Well, hopefully, and hopefully it'll start to transform the rest of the series as well. I mean, maybe they wanted it to start out light. Maybe the purpose is to show Donna the fun side of the universe. She's seen a couple bad things. She's seen people die. She's seen things that made her want to go back home, like, for instance, the Ood and the way that they were treated by the humans. But maybe she hasn't seen anything yet, and maybe that's part of the plan. Maybe the plan is to show the light side and then get to the dark side.
Perhaps you're absolutely right, yes. I don't think I can add anything to that. I think you've made some really good points. The only thing is, I do feel as at the moment, and although Doctor, you're not going to be on next year in series form, I do feel as though we've got to the point where I don't have to watch every single episode because I don't feel that they're going to take it off again. Not for a long time, anyway. You know, even though the later period of the original run of the series, particularly series 24 and 25, I missed a lot of that because some of it was absolutely awful, but I didn't worry that I was never going to see the show again. And I think maybe that's the way I feel at the moment. So I think what I'm saying is, it's all right doing all these things, but when the Emperor's New Clothes start to fall off and the critics start to sort of start baying for blood, what happens then?
You know, I don't know. I see the dark side of this that you're going to, like the TV show is going down the later path of Doctor Who, and maybe it seems unengaging to you. However, I think we have seen every series of Doctor Who since 2005 has been different in some way to the next. And this season will feel that way. Maybe the specials will be so enticing you can't turn away. And series 5 perhaps would have a darker tone again.
Certainly, as far as the specials are concerned, it can't be, for me, retreads of The Runaway Bride or Voyage of the
Exactly
Damned.
Where I was going, yeah.
Yeah, that there'll need to be something a bit more substantial. Okay, well, we'll leave that there. I think it's time to order a drink. Rolex, I'll have an iced tea, please. Brian?
Yeah, I'll have a ginger ale, I think.
A what?
Ginger ale? You don't have ginger ale? Rolex knows what I like. Don't you worry about it. Stay where you are. Exterminate.
Exterminate. So, as we've already discussed there, Brian, next year we get a series of specials, and I've long suspected that the purpose of the series of specials is so Russell T Davies can move on, as well as there being time for a new production team to mount the new series 5. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that's a very sound theory. And while I don't want to be one of the ones, bad-mouthing Russell, he's done some very good work for Doctor Who. I would be interested in seeing a production team change. 4 years seems like a good time with one person, and I would like to see where somebody else can take it. Maybe darker, maybe lighter, totally different direction, more alien worlds, what have you, anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anyone can underestimate the work Davies has done. I think he's probably on a par. And, you know, there have been producers that have done a lot and producers that haven't done so much, but I think Davies is probably on a par with Barry Letts.
Sure.
And
yeah.
And Verity Lambert, and the amount of work, and he's reformatted the show.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
and brought a new audience.
Of course, absolutely. Brought in a mega audience, which is fantastic. And while I can't say that I agree with everything that he's done over the course of the 4 years, I can easily say that about any season of Doctor Who. There, you know, you become so attached to the show. It's become like a part of you, and wow, I wouldn't have done it that way. I wouldn't have done this, but you're not in charge. You have to live with those moments.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be quite easy in hindsight to say that we could say to Barry Letts, why did you let Caroline Johns go?
Sure.
We could also say, maybe in more of an impact, to Philip Hinchcliffe, why did you let Ian Martyr go?
Absolutely. That one, yeah. That one, I mean, oh, you know, that's a whole nother podcast right there. Honestly, they should never have let Harry go. That team is the one that I base every great team in Doctor Who on. Tom Baker, Harry, and Sarah. After that, it is Pat Troughton, Jamie, and Zoe. And those, whenever they do a team of three on Doctor Who, I base them against those groups. So we could do a whole nother podcast episode on just that alone.
Okay, then. And as for Stephen Moffat,
yes.
Which, given his success as a writer in Doctor Who, his success in other projects. I mean, my wife knows that Stephen Moffat writes the best episodes of Doctor Who. So, you know, she enjoys Doctor Who. She's not a fan by any means. So
yeah.
I think his popularity and the strength of his writing is there for all to see.
Absolutely. You know, I got my parents, I got my brother, I have my fiance, and a couple friends that who didn't regularly watch Doctor Who into the show, and those are the ones that stick out in their minds the most, all the Stephen Moffat ones. And yeah. As a matter of fact, in the latest Santarin story, the second the Doctor said, "Are you my mummy wearing the gas mask?"
Uh-huh.
Every one of those people that I just quoted, they were just like, "Oh my god! Oh, they just thought it was brilliant because it harkened back to the story that in their minds was, you know, the best."
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, here in the UK, there's this kind of big cult, certainly within the press, about Russell T. Davies and how he's this great, superb, amazing, wonderful writer who's so much better than his peers. Frankly, that's utter tosh. Anyone who watches television knows who the best writers are. Anyone who's really into the television knows that Stephen Moffat has produced some of the best comedy, as well as some of the most involving drama over the last 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. And to sort of have one person who they kind of big up in this way, it's kind of unfortunate, but at the same time, I think it's quite telling in today's current climate that people are bigged up in such a way.
Sure.
So, take ourselves forward a year or two,
sure.
18 months. We've got a new Doctor Who producer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new series starting. What do we want from that new series?
Personally, one thing that springs to mind is I would like to see less modern day Earth. I don't want them to leave modern day Earth. I do enjoy stories set in modern day Earth, but to have the majority of them there, I don't want to see that.
No, sure. I'm personally hoping, praying almost, that the show is scheduled for an autumn or winter broadcast.
Yes, right. You've mentioned that to me before. I totally agree with that. That's a good idea.
When I first watched, The Unquiet Dead wasn't so bad because I think it was quite a miserable weekend. But when I watched The Empty Child, is a key one, I was away at my cousin's wedding. It was absolutely blazing hot.
Mm-hmm.
The sun went in at around 10 to 10 that evening.
Yeah.
A sunny summer's day is not the time to be watching scary Doctor Who. It's not the time to be watching scary anything. You want dark, cold, windy nights, rain hitting the windows when you settle down and watch The Empty Child or Human Nature or whatever, anything scary.
You know, when I often write, actually, in some of my articles on the site, how I, or rather, I guess more so in the forum, but how I rediscovered Doctor Who in 1995. You know, I used to watch it as a child, and then one day it popped up on my local PBS station again, and sure enough, it was winter, and it was night. I used to watch it with the lights off, in complete darkness, and I loved it. So now, when it's winter, when it's snowing, and you know that a feeling that you have when it's snowing outside, there's a complete calm. I always associate it to Doctor Who because of that moment. It's the perfect time. The ratings will soar. It will give people something to do at that time when they're so desperately looking for something to do. And it will make people have that feeling that I have when it snows.
Yeah,
I don't think people equate Doctor Who with the warm weather right now, even though it's going there. I don't think from years from now you're going to hear a child speaking like I do about the hot temperatures outside in relation to Doctor Who.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think the cold, dark weather matches Doctor Who perfectly.
Yeah. I think you hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah, I think so too. Right. Well, I think we'd better leave it there, Brian.
Sure.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this 7th Casterbridge podcast with a K. We'll be back again in the future. I'm talking about more Doctor related stuff. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Once again, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We may have to stop that at some point.
Yeah, when the podcast entirely comprises of... Hello. And it's goodbye from me.
Hello and welcome to podcast number 27. And goodbye from me. Dum 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 d